Welcome to the Daily Objective, day 167 of the war in Israel. There are I think people and causes out there that are worthy of our support, moral, financial, and I'm not a humble person. I think the Ayn Rand Center UK is one such cause, but I think people generally agree that there are things worthy of your support, and then disagree on what that might be. So with Britain, Daniel, do you have that clip of the British Prime Minister ready, and we can see what he used to think was the right side to take in this conflict? All right. Well, things have changed in recent months. So at the moment, what it would take for Britain to support you is basically if you participated in the mass torture, rape, and murder of Jews on October 7th, Britain not only thinks that you should be treated nicely, but it demands nicer treatment of those terrorists, specifically those terrorists, not some random people arrested in Gaza during the Akbar. The actual terrorists should be treated nicer. And this is a part of the condition for support that sounded a few months ago, the way Rishi Sunak put it, as unconditional. Daniel, if that clip is ready, we can hear him now.
There are not two sides to these events. There is no question of balance. I stand with Israel. We stand with Israel. The United Kingdom stands with Israel against this terrorism today, tomorrow, and always. The people who support Hamas are fully responsible for this appalling attack. They are not militants. They are not freedom fighters. They are terrorists. Their barbaric acts are acts of evil.
Well, that was Prime Minister Sunak then.
Yeah,
I
and
mean,
by the way, James, just one more point. The people who support Hamas are fully responsible for these acts. That is a correct statement. The people who
yes.
support Hamas are the Palestinian people. So
People.
they should be clearly seen as the enemy, but even the individuals who took part in October 7th are now people that the British government will side with over Israel.
Yeah, I mean, what they're demanding now is that the Red Cross and international observers get in there, that we get a complete list from the IDF of these Hamas monsters, despite the unusual security conditions here, which of course make that absurd. Frankly, I have to agree with Mr. Pellegrino. Life for Hamas prisoners in Israeli captivity should be most unpleasant. It shouldn't be fun. Many of these people need to be questioned, and until the IDF in Israel has fully questioned these people and knows their disposition, frankly, this is a unique security situation. But Britain is now making demands that international observers like the Red Cross get lists, know all about these people, because apparently the perpetrators of October 7th really need to have their rights defended, even if we're in the middle of a war against them right now. They need to have their rights protected. And guess what? We're going to condition any aid, now I know it's military aid that's going there, on condition you don't give humanitarian aid to Gaza. Now that is flipping the script. Pragmatism. And for those not familiar with objectivism, I do not mean little p just being practical, pragmatic. I mean the philosophy, capital P, pragmatism, which is opposed to moral principle and says, each side maybe is right. We can't be wedded to principle. We can't be rigid in our understanding of these things. Prime Minister Sunak said always, and of course, always meant what, a few days? But in any case, it is the inevitable effect of pragmatism that we have a moral inversion. And this moral inversion between the good guys and the bad guys here is disgusting. It's reprehensible, but it's the product of pragmatism. This view that, look at Sunak said, Always. Wow, that sounded like a principle, like something you'd be stuck to. But no. Now we've completely flipped the script, and as pragmatism, politicians are almost by nature pragmatists, capital P pragmatists, they have morally inverted the entire situation precisely because of their politically pragmatic needs. Always never means always to a pragmatist like Prime Minister Sunak. That can last a matter of hours or days, always. And that's exactly the kind of disgusting moral inversion that's going on right now, making demands of Israel in this context. In this context, look, you and I would have destroyed every population center in Gaza within days, perhaps hours, of October 7th actually happening. But well, we are now months beyond that. That was, of course, the time to strike because that's when Sunak was using the word always. But that we've said so many times, as the days pass, you get less and less and less backbone from these politicians who don't have two principles actually to rub against each other. It is a moral inversion. There's no other way of describing it but a perversion. Of it. And the sliminess of the politicians in general on this. Biden, okay, look, we were talking about Chuck Schumer. Obviously, Biden was getting Chuck Schumer, the leading Jewish member of the United States Senate, to co do cover for him, to say Israel's lost its way, so that Biden can say, don't do the Rafah invasion unless we're totally satisfied about your evacuation plans, the aid, all these other ridiculous conditions on Israel. And what is it all about? It's about domestic political concerns for American politicians. Karl Rove, I didn't much admire the guy he worked for, George W. Bush, but he's a sharp political analyst. And he, in today's Wall Street Journal, has identified that the US presidential election comes down to seven states. When you get rid of the states that'll probably vote Republican and the states that'll probably vote Democrat, the US presidential election, and one of the biggest of them, is Michigan. Is Michigan. Al Jazeera earlier this month had a whole thing about how the non-committed vote should be taken up and Joe Biden should be punished by the Muslims. Al Jazeera did this and describing how it's more than just the Muslim population of America. It's not just in Minnesota and Michigan. There are lefties who are our friends, and we've got to get behind this non-committed vote for Biden. Biden facing the fact that he lost Michigan by a much smaller margin than is comfortable, is afraid of losing the presidential election. So let me just put it blankly for you. For his own political interests, he's willing to stab Israel in the back after October 7th. This is the kind of unprincipled nature you can expect from today's contemporary politicians. I will only preface it like this. I'm not an anarchist. In a better world, there could be better politicians. But politicians today are the worst examples of slimy, backstabbing, unprincipled monsters themselves who sanction these monsters for their, and they're perfectly willing to make sure that Hamas gets away with it. Hamas leaders in Rafah get away with it, that they're given all the time they need, all the humanitarian aid they need, so that we can have more and more October 7ths, so that I get elected.
Yeah, and if
It's
you're
in
not
effect what Joe Biden is saying.
if you're not clear on the fact that this is everybody's war, not just Israel's war, yeah, look at the US 23 years after 9/11, now basically pandering to the Islamists for their vote on the US president pandering to them. Michelle mentioned in the chat that the Red Cross hasn't made half this effort about the hostages. Yeah, nobody in the world cares about the hostages anymore, or about Israel in general. People, it was easy to side with Israel when Israelis were murdered, and no response had happened yet. It's apparently not as easy to do so when Israel is doing their basic response and not doing much of it, by the way. So yesterday, we were kind of joking about Canada deciding not to sell
Well,
weapons to
it's not
Israel
like they can
because,
sell or buy weapons or anything from Israel.
yeah,
So that's where our
that's the thing.
stand
It
is.
kind of
It's not
reminded
air.
me, James. I don't know if you're a South Park fan, but there's an episode where Canada goes on strike, and of course nobody pays attention because
Right.
Sorry, Christopher, in the chat. I know you are our favorite Canadian,
There are many
or high
wonderful
up
Canadians.
there among our
Yes,
favorite
there are many
Canadians.
wonderful Canadians out there, but their government sucks. And Trudeau wants to be more like Xi Jinping than anyone else. But so who cares about Canada? But
But the point there is Canada did this basically to get the ball rolling, and it didn't take long because Britain is now making the same exact threat, and this threat is coming with conditions, again, conditions about the actual terrorists, and not to talk of the Rafah offensive, which anybody who said after October 7th Hamas must be destroyed cannot be against this operation unless they have changed their mind and now think, actually, you know what? The organization that did October 7th and promised to do it again and again until Israel is annihilated should continue to operate. This is what opposing the Rafah offensive, which, by the way, I don't think is going to happen, that's what it means.
that is exactly what it means. It means that the perpetrators, the masterminds, people who did October 7th will get away with it, and they will be given this big sanction. No, the questioner we had just makes an outstanding point. The hostages are still there. Well, wait a minute. Britain should say, hey, no humanitarian aid to Gaza until we get all the hostages and a surrender from Hamas. How about we make conditions on Hamas rather than put conditions on Israel, the victim? It's moral inversion. It's a total moral inversion. Tell you what, Israel doesn't have to tell us about their prisoners until Hamas absolutely coughs up every single one of those prisoners who may be being tortured and raped right now and for the last 4 months. It is absolutely despicable. But as I say, pragmatism necessarily, as objectivists know, necessarily involves a moral inversion because you're compromising with evil. And when you're in principle compromising with evil, this is what happens. Now, one of the most despicable, as an American, one of the things I find most despicable is the rumors out there is that Biden, seeking political cover from international, he's sort of pressuring his friends in Europe and Canada and so forth to change their positions, to back off. And, bless his heart, Netanyahu says we'll do it if we only have Czech support. But nonetheless, what You know what Netanyahu should do? He should be just as patronizing to Biden and Sunak as they are to him. As they are to him. Now, I know y'all are just slimy pragmatists who have to deal with a Muslim population, and for your own political power, you're willing to stab us in the back and permit more and more October 7ths. That's what he should say.
Yeah, the problem is Netanyahu doesn't have a backbone himself. He is a pragmatist. I keep encouraging, and I'm going to keep encouraging people to go back and watch our shows from October 7th, October 8th, October 9th. We saw this coming all along. We knew Netanyahu isn't acting because he wants the world to stop him. He wants to use the world as an excuse. And I don't know how you go to the Israeli people, and I think Netanyahu still actually has some delusions that he can stay in power even beyond the next election. How you can go to the people and say on October 7th, I said, we're going to destroy Hamas. And then you went on a military operation. You didn't destroy Hamas. You didn't even try in the place where basically the last ones that remained are remaining, and they're guaranteed to regroup. They're regrouping already because Israel is threatening. How do you go to the people and say, well, vote for me anyway? I don't know that. I agree with you. I said yesterday Israel should pick somebody. I would have picked Canada as sort of a the country that you're gonna use as a kind of proof of concept of what happens when you actually stand up for yourself. Let's see how that happens. Just try it once with Canada, not with a serious ally. But it's not
Israel
going to
has
happen.
stood up to Israel has in the past stood up practically to the whole world, done it all on their own when they've needed to defend themselves. What would have been, and I have a question for you, and maybe we should have Jonathan here or something for me to ask as well, someone who lives in Israel, but what would be the effect if Netanyahu had the proper, would he get Israeli support? Because that is also a critical thing for me. Do the Israelis themselves, would they have been willing to flatten most of Gaza within a day or two of October 7th? Would they have been willing to be uncompromising in terms of going after terrorists? Or is, in fact, Netanyahu himself pandering to a group within Israel? Is it just the international community, or is it
So,
his own domestic politics?
thanks, Bonnie, for the super chat. Yeah, on October 7th or 8th, had Israel flattened Gaza, the Israeli people would not have objected to it. Unfortunately, they have a short memory like everybody else. Today, many in Israel would be happy with a ceasefire if it meant the hostages are released. I obviously think that's a mistake because it guarantees that the next attacks happen. And we need to, we need to talk about what this means, what the current situation means, and what the seemingly next few days or weeks, what impact that'll have. If you, the last headline I saw in Ynet, the biggest news website in Israel, right before the show, was that the US is going to push a resolution in the UN calling for an immediate ceasefire and release of all the hostages. Of course, previous resolutions didn't include the latter part, but this is the lip service the US is going to pay to say, oh, look, we're still an ally of Israel. We want the hostages released. Thank you very much.
And more
But
hostages taken because we're going to protect Hamas leadership. We're going to protect Hamas and guarantee their survival so we can get more October 7ths if we get these hostages out.
yeah, and in terms of the size of the victory, look, if Israel goes into Rafah, it's not going to do what I would like to see it do. It's going to do it's not going to do what needs to be done. It's going to do a little bit of what needs to be done.
They've
And
already
even
waited too
then,
long.
and even after the Rafah operation, which again I don't think is going to happen, this will be seen, October 7th will be seen as a major victory for Hamas, for the Palestinian people, because the world is already against Israel, and the world will be against Israel a lot more after that operation. I don't know where it's going to go with sanctions or what exactly, but this is going to be the moment where the world makes it very clear that they support October 7th style attacks, because they do not support any action in response to such attacks. Not going into Rafah, as the world is now demanding of Israel, the size of the victory for Hamas, for the Palestinian people, is such that basically, it's going to be so encouraging for whoever is planning the next attack from the West Bank, from Lebanon, wherever it is. I don't understand Netanyahu's motives in waiting so long. Again, waiting, he shouldn't have waited a day after October 7th, but waiting until this point, talking about a Rafah operation for well over a month now, and still saying it's going to take time until it happens. And that time, of course, is time during which Israel is being forced not to do it.
And Hamas is getting resupplied, and the terrorists are escaping, and et cetera, et cetera. I mean, the longer they wait, the less likely it is to happen at all as such. I mean, it is absolutely despicable. They should have gone in already. I mean, and this concern, this international concern, well, what about the civilians? I mean, that's always the thing. We are the useful idiots of Hamas. We are playing right into their strategy, their propaganda techniques. And as I say, the slimy pragmatism of Western politicians is such that they don't have two principles to scrape together, real principles to scrape together. And so they're perfectly willing to stab the people they said were the victims back on October 8th. They said the victims here, and we're always on your side. No. I always lasted, like I say, a few hours or days, and that's about it. Like I say, Israel. I think that the entire Western world, from Israel, from Jerusalem and Tel Aviv through London and New York, has lost its moral compass. These sa Hamas savages, as I've said many times, we had this report too that Hamas got clearance from Hezbollah. Oh yeah, we'll be on your side before October 7th. We now have clear reports of coordination between Hamas and Hezbollah. But of course, if how dare Israel, if it attempts to defend itself on the north, even if they're being displaced and attacked, it's utterly disgusting. See, rather than addressing the West's own culpability with Iran, for example, how the West, with their sanction of Iran, supplied these monsters, made possible October 7th, rather than confronting how our pragmatism helped make possible October 7th, which is frankly the real moral scandal here. The real moral scandal is how we've been appeasing Iran, who have been supplying now the worst terrorists in the Middle East on both the Shia and Sunni sides of this, and how we've done that. Rather than confront the real moral issues, rather than confront that, we're going to blame Israel for defending itself, in effect. We're going to blame the victims, in effect, for defending their own. Put demands on them that we were nothing like any of the demands we would put on Hamas or Hezbollah here. Well, no, we can't do that. They're just not pragmatists. So what happens, as I say, with pragmatism is a complete moral inversion. We will get more October 7th. Apparently they want more October 7th. They can't see that what they're doing is encouraging more October 7th because they can't get to the root of what their appeasement has done. No, that would be principled thinking about this. Nor can they stand up to principles against domestic politics. And that's what you can expect from contemporary politicians. If Biden and Sunak believed the ideas that they articulated in the first days after October 7th, they would not be saying what they're saying now. They never really did believe that. They never really had. And Trump is little better, frankly. He's been totally vague on this. And while he says it never would have happened, October never would have happened if I were president, patting himself on the back as he's fond of doing. He's also saying, Israel, wrap it up. Wrap it up. And that phrase tells you so much. He wants this problem behind him when and if he should become president. And he doesn't want to have to deal with this. He wants to cut deals, make it, Mr. Trump, art of the deal, Mr. Trump, he'll cut deals with any dictator or terrorist in the world. He's eager to do deals with Xi and Putin, maybe Iran is an exception, but he would cause, with all the other Middle Eastern states, he wants to cut a deal. And that requires...
By the way, Iran is not an exception. Didn't he say a few days ago that in the next... next peace deal that he has in the Middle East, Iran is going to be a part of it.
He said he would try to include Iran, which is absolutely morally despicable. You can see Trump, again, a politician who wouldn't know a moral principle if it bit him in the rear end.
Yeah, it's morally despicable. And of course, Iran is the one country where the people are actually, in large part with the West. If you cut a deal, you're cutting a deal with the regime that the people, that is not just threatening the West and is responsible, is behind all these attacks, but is also the regime that the people there don't want. So you are strengthening them by cutting a deal with them. But I want to talk a little bit about, what this means for us. We've seen, one of the things we've seen over the past 6 months is these savages on our streets, from October 7th, when they went out to celebrate to these protests where, on October 7th, they were super happy with the women being raped and children being killed. Now it's all about women and children dying. But the kind of things you hear, like in London, in one of those protests, or at least one, I heard it in one, there may have been more, they were chanting Yemen, make us proud, turn another ship around. And so they were actually supporting the Houthis attacking ships that some of which actually probably bring goods to those very protesters. A missile fired from Yemen actually landed in Israel a couple of nights ago. Luckily didn't hit anybody, but that's luck. And Israel isn't doing anything about it. And you don't hear that. You don't hear Chuck Schumer or David Cameron talk about that.
No, you do not. Talk about slimy, immoral. I mean, it's clear what we're looking at here. We're looking at a coordinated attack on Israel and Western interests throughout the Middle East. International shipping has been stopped in effect. 50% of what used to go through the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden no longer goes through there because of Houthi violent activity. And we can't even defend Western interests. The main trading route between South Asia and Europe has been disrupted, and they have to go all the way around Africa. So even when it comes to Europe's own self-interest, they're willing to appease rather than see the ultimate cause behind this. I've been corrected by Irene. The proper term is Islamism, not Islamicism, as I sometimes say out loud. But it just seems to me that it's these monsters are, it's probably a better term. Islam is the root thing. I know there are Not all Muslims are violent terrorists, but the point is, Islam is the root of this. The Islamic culture in the area is the root of this. And rather than seeing the West's own bloody hands in the way they've been treating and appeasing Iran, as I say, of course, they're the one, like I say, Hamas and Hezbollah coordinated this, we now know, before October 7th. They were being funded. And now you have all the, from the Houthis, all the Hezbollah affiliates attacking US bases, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is the fruit of moral compromise. This is the fruit of pragmatism. This moral inversion and the death end up, continued death of innocents is guaranteed.
Thank you, Enric, for the super chat. And you know, we go back to the US elections, but and basically Islamists in Michigan, you know, kind of controlling US policy in a sense. Here it's much worse. You know, it's not about a specific election. Here in the UK, you know, while Jews should fear for their lives every time they go outside, you know, Muslims are openly, more openly than before, flaunting the fact that they are here. Again, not all Muslims. Yeah, only the consistent ones, only the ones who follow their religion consistently, are flaunting the fact that they are here to make this country a theocratic Islamic shithole, and
Right.
nothing is being done about it, and it's I don't know, it's yeah, we can
Appeasement
say a lot
of
of words, but sometimes I really have no words to you know,
it's
I don't
appeasement
know,
of
I don't
evil.
understand what they think, what the leadership in this country thinks is going to happen if we continue this policy.
It is again, I'm sorry, it feels like slimy political pragmatism justified by the moral self-doubts, confusions, and altruism that is so deeply embedded in Great Britain, unfortunately. I can't say any better about my country these days either, but it's despicable. It's absolutely despicable. When you have a principle and you see the victims on October 7th, a principled politician standing up and saying, "No, I'm sorry, I'm on Israel's side. Hamas must be fully destroyed as soon as possible." And if you take that stand, principled stand, are you going to lose Muslim votes? Are you going to strengthen your opponent? Is Biden going to lose Michigan? Well, a principled politician says, "My personal power is not so important as doing the right thing." And it, you know, it's not a violation of my egoism. It's my insistence that these politicians not be pragmatists. And frankly, I think they would get more support from people because they would have a moral clarity. There would be a good guy side, which is quickly evaporating both in Britain and the United States. Those clear moral voices standing up in defense for Israel, they're evaporating. Why? Because there's no, you and I aren't leading even any of the political parties or movements in Britain or the United States. We're not the, if we were there, we would have a clear and consistent principled stand, even if it means screw you, Muslim voters in our countries. And we would get more support, I think, from the other side. You know, anti-Semitism really, really did hurt the Labour Party and Corbyn, I believe, just a few short years ago. I do believe most adult Americans do support Israel. That side of things doesn't have a principled, consistent defender. They really don't. Not in Trump, not in Sunak, not in Lord Cameron, not in any of these slimy pragmatists.
Yeah, speaking of slimy, I don't think he's a pragmatist, but Cenk Uygur is going to be the topic of the reality show. It's been a while since we talked about him. He shouted at somebody, so you know, that's he was on Piers Morgan with Rabbi Shmuley. We're going to talk about that on the reality show coming up right after this show. Thank you, James, for joining me. Thanks everybody for watching. If you value this content and think others should watch it as well, please do share it and like it and comment. James, quickly, where can people find you?
Here, well, I'm back here again, but I am on Facebook, X, social media. I'm on Facebook answering questions every day about all of these subjects. I have a website, www.creatingchrist.com, about my book. But otherwise, you can find me here.
And you can also find me here and at Razi Ginsburg on X. Thanks, James. We'll see you all tomorrow. Bye.
Be safe.